I want to preach tonight. I'm going to read this three verses, and then we're going to go back into the Old Testament and look at three examples of my thought. And my thought is this, it's all in how you see it. All in how you see it. And no matter what you're looking at, it seems as though there's always two ways to see it. But the way you see it affects your life. So it's very important as to how you see it.
Yes. Amen.
Let's look at these verses here, and then we'll go back and give you the examples of it. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places. It seems as though that the emphasis that Paul has given there is it's important as to how you see it, especially when it comes to those heavenly things and it comes to Christ. But I want to go back and give some examples in the Old Testament. I'll read some verses to you in this matter of the importance of seeing things as they ought to be seen. And as a result of that, it is a reflection as to your own life and how you live it. I could ask the question in the beginning as to your life, you feel like you're being hurt, or are you being helped? How do you see that? Are you bitter or are you blessed? How do you see that? Is that the devil bothering you, or is the Lord working in your life? How do you see that? I want to point out these important illustrations of it. The Bible is filled with it. I read, first of all, in the book of Genesis, if you will. Let me get my verses here. The book of Genesis. You won't have to turn, but you can. Chapter 37, verse 34. It all depends on how you see it, as to how it affects your everyday life, your attitude, your actions. The setting of what I'm going to read here, of course, is how that Joseph's brethren took his coat from his back, dipped it in blood, brought it back to the father, and told him that an animal must have slain Joseph. Now we know none of that's true. But Jacob didn't have any way of knowing that. And I'm looking at verse 34, and Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all of his sons and his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, "For I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning." Thus his father wept for him. This is how Jacob saw this. This is his rendition of what had happened. And because of the view he got, for 20 years he lived in misery. But when we go to the other side of that, we go over to chapter number 50 and verse number 20. And here's how Joseph saw it. They're both looking at the same thing and dealing with the same thing. It's what the boys did to the son. And the father has viewed it from the son's description of it. And that's the way he saw it. He got there. Explanation. But Joseph, the Bible said in verse number 50, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive." I'm here to tell you, it's very important as to how you see things. He's looking at it, Jacob is, from one view. That's the only view he's got. But Joseph is looking at it from another view. And as a result, Jacob is living in sorrow and sadness and defeat for many years. But Joseph, from his perspective, saw the very hand of God in everything. And therefore, he lived in the realm of forgiveness, of love, and of peace. Because the view you have of the circumstances of your life will determine as to whether you are a victim or a victor. It will determine as to whether you live in defeat or you live in victory. And here it is an example of those who are seeing things from others' perspectives and descriptions and how they explain it, and then someone that sees things through the providence of God, as Joseph did. I'm here to tell you it's so important. It's all in how you see it. Joseph and Jacob. I would move on to the book of Numbers, chapter 13 and verse 30. Seeing things from two angles. This is the record of the 12 spies that go into the promised land to come back and give a report as to what they saw. You know the story of the 10. We'll look in verse 33 first, Numbers 13. Here is what the 10 saw. "And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight." This is what they're seeing. "As grasshoppers. And so were we in their sight." They said, "We can't go up and mess with that crowd. They're so big, we had to hop off that mountain. We saw ourselves and we felt like they saw us as grasshoppers." The worst thing you need to do is get to viewing yourself like you think somebody else sees you. Like the world described. We don't want to fall in line with how Washington thinks they see us. But on the other hand, Caleb stands forth, verse number 30, "steeled the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it.'" Caleb's not looking at the enemy. He's not looking at the giants. But he's looking at the promises of God. And we got a promise, he said. We got a promise. Let's go. And through that promise, I see victory. But it is here that the ten see defeat. And as a result of what comes out of that, there is division. There is rebellion. There is failure. There is defeat. This is what was coming out of what the ten saw. I'm telling you, it's important as to what you're seeing in life, because it affects your life. But on the other hand, Caleb had blessed assurance and victory. He said, we can go take it. He was not a victim. He was a victor. They're both looking at the same and dealing with the same thing, but they're seeing it in two different lights. Jacob and Joseph, and the ten and the two. One has victory, one has defeat. One lives in misery, the other lives in rebellion and failure, simply because how they see it. Well, you listen to somebody talk, and you can tell how they see things by the way they're talking. You watch somebody's life and their walk, and you can tell how they see things by the way they're walking and the way they're talking. It is so vital that we see things as they ought to be seen. As we see things through the providence of God, as we see things through the promises of God. Honey, it don't make no difference what the situation is. If you can grasp His providence and His promises, it'll let you live on a higher plane and a higher ground. With a jump in your step and a praise toward God. Yes. And it'll be two people in the same situation, and one of them's drugged down and the other's praising God. Are you living in victory or in defeat? Are you a victim? Are you being picked on? Are you the one being hurt? Is the devil always on your shoulder? Or are you seeing things as you ought to see them? Amen. The hand of God, the providence of God, the promises of God that are mightier than anything this world can bring against you. You understand what I'm saying?
That's good preaching, sir.
Old Jacob, 22 years. Based on what his son, what he thought he knew, it said. What he thought he knew. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
What he thought that he knew. But then I move to a third example, and that is David. Young David, and of course the army of Israel, and Saul himself. The giant Goliath has stood and roared and made his threats against the people of God, the army of God, the army of Israel. And verse 24 of 1 Samuel 17 said, and all the men of Israel, when they saw, that's what they saw, the man fled from him and were sore afraid. That's what they saw. And I don't blame them. That'd be enough to shake you. But in chapter 17, verse 32, David realizes the giant is there. I don't think he ever saw him like they saw him. Evidently. Because they're running. And David's wanting to find out. He's wanting to check with the one in authority in Israel to get the okay to do something about this fella. Verse 32, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Hey, wait a minute, boy. Are you seeing the same thing I'm seeing? Well, in a physical sense, yeah, they're seeing a 9 foot, 6 inch guy somewhere around there. They're seeing about 200 pounds of armor. They're hearing his voice thunder. They're both looking at the same thing, but one is seeing themselves as a victim and in defeat, and the other is seeing himself in victory. This is a chance for victory. Verse 42. And when the Philistine looked about, and let me interject this, that in every view, the devil's going to insert how he thinks you ought to see it. Look in verse number 42. And when the Philistine looked about, he got eyes too. And he saw David. He disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy, and of a fair countenance. That's the way he saw him. Buddy, you're nearsighted. You better watch out. Your vision's cloudy. You're going to get in trouble. Verse 44, and the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Verse 45, then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied, and this day will the Lord deliver thee in my hand. He's seeing things different than what Saul is. But he's looking at the same thing. I mean, in each one of these situations, both sides dealing with the same thing, looking at the same thing. But isn't it amazing how people can see things so opposite? But this is nothing to be played with in the Christian life. You're going to have to be able to see things through the very providence of God, through the promises of God and through the power of God and the presence of God. You've got to be able to see things through God's eyes.
Yes.
And that'll make all the difference.
Amen.
In the world.
Oh, yes, it will.
Now, I laid that foundation because there are three things that I want to say to you about this matter. It's all in how you see it. Where are you at in your life? Wherever that is, it's going to be because of what you're seeing. It's either help, what you're seeing is either helping you or hurting you. What you're seeing is either blessing you or making you bitter. What you are seeing is making you feel like the devil's just beating up on you and God ain't nowhere around. Or that God's around and greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That'll make a difference. Hallelujah. The possibility. We all deal with life. We all deal with the same thing in that we have to live life. And we all go through what we have to go through in life. That's all that life is. But honey, you being a victim or a victor, living in victory or defeat, depends on how you're looking at it. Your aches and pains or your losses and cares, all of us, whatever they may be, can get us so down because we feel like we have been defeated. They couldn't even talk to Jacob. Couldn't even talk to him. Bless his heart. The ten, man, the milk and honey, and those grapes, pomegranates, they couldn't even taste them. They couldn't even taste them. All of the blessing of what was in, what they were both receiving, one could enjoy it, the other could not. And while the men of Israel were seeing a great defeat, David was seeing a great victory. how are you seeing things tonight? It'll determine how you sleep at night. It'll determine your relationships with other people. It's all in how you see it. Three things I would say to you. First of all, don't let the devil or anybody else define who you are. Amen. Jacob has allowed what his sons said to affect him. And if we're not careful, we'll listen to what others say. And it will affect us. Genesis 37, verse 33, when they brought that coat to him, the Bible said, and he knew it, said, it is my son's coat, and an evil beast has devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. But this is exactly what his boys wanted him to think. I tell you, the news media wants to control your mind. Your enemy wants to control your mind. Those people who don't like you want to control your mind. But you don't need to let them get into your head and control your thinking, because all they're wanting to do is cause misery in your life and cause you to feel defeat. But it was Joseph that was going through everything the brothers caused. But yet going through every bit of it, he was seeing God on every step, and it caused him to be victorious, so that when his brothers showed up, he didn't want to do to them what they'd done to him. He didn't want to hate them and hurt them. He wanted to help them because he saw God's hand in it. Well, life is so much better when you can see the Lord in it. You can see his hand in it, see his working in it, and not listen to what everybody else has got to say. In each of these scenarios, each of these situations, it was someone else's vision that was causing the pain in one person's life. It's what they come up with, Jacob's sons. If you know somebody and you know their past and their life, you might not ought to take them real serious. Or you might ought to question it anyway. Wait a minute, boys. What'd you say happened? You sit down there and we're going to talk this thing over. This don't even make sense. But he didn't. He kind of swallowed that, and it brought misery to his life. And you think about those spies that went to view the land. What they came back talking about was not so much what they saw, but what they thought the giants saw. They said, we felt, when they looked at us, we felt so small, and we felt like grasshoppers in their sight. Don't let others determine how you feel about yourself, how you feel about God. Don't look at others. Do you ever look at somebody and them look and you say, I don't think they like me? So you mean Pete don't like you? Pete's a kind guy. No, you didn't see how he was looking at me. He don't like me. Have you ever done that? I've done that in pastoring. I go and, preaching, and people that I've, and all of this one day, they just didn't seem right to me. I don't know. I said, honey, I think Sister So-and-so, something, she's mad about something. I said, well, she said, well, why? I said, well, just the way she was looking. Well, come find out she had a headache. wasn't no real problem. But you can't let your whole life be sucked up into how somebody else thinks, even if they do see you that way. You don't have to be the way they see you. And then when you come to David, Goliath saw him. And he just he looked down on him, and he saw that he was ruddy and of a small size, and he called. He said, "What are you, a dog? What am I? A dog? What are they sending you out here at me for?" And he talked down to him. But he couldn't talk him far enough down, because David was rising on the wings of the Lord, and he was seeing things through a different set of eyes.
Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. That's right.
Don't let anybody else determine how you see life.
Amen.
Because it'll hurt you. It'll make you bitter. It'll give you defeat. And it'll make you run around feeling like you got a chip on your shoulder. You're the victim all the time. I've seen it in families. I was the black sheep of the family. Well, what's that supposed to mean? You're the black sheep. So we're all going to feel sorry for you because you're the black sheep of the family. Somebody asked me, said, was you bitter the way you were raised by your dad? I said, no, because he wasn't partial. He'd soon knock one out as he would the other. I seen him do it. I said, here it comes. At our house, time out meant how long you were unconscious. I'm telling you. Somebody said, I had to stand in the corner. I said, I'd have loved to. I was too weak. But honey, I ain't bitter. I'm laughing about it. I ain't angry. And I ain't going to live a defeated life because of how anybody else saw and affected my life. I got no chip on my shoulder. God in His providence raised me up. God in His good mercy saved me. God has led me. I got nothing to complain about.
Yes, hallelujah.
Yes, Lord. Y'all think I'm joking about that stuff. I ain't joking. I remember one time I was 12 years old. And my dad was sitting over there. I never would have done this. He said, go do something. And I said, I will in a minute. Oh, my soul. We had one of those big, heavyweight glass ashtrays. That big, and it had 8 points on it. Son, I'm going to tell you, as quick as he could, he picked that up and he throwed that thing, and it came right by my nose and stuck in the sheetrock. What I figured was he had 9 youngins. He didn't mind losing one. And I want to tell you something, I didn't take a chance. And again, whenever he said something, I jumped. And I should have jumped that time. And I did jump when the ashtray came. But what I'm saying to you, I don't know what this world's going to do to you. I mean, Jesus said it hated me. It's going to hate you. Why? What do you want everybody to pat you on the back all the time? You're going to work and feeling like the whole, my boss don't, I'm telling you, it's bad down and it's all that. Hey, get over it. Joseph did because he saw God.
Yes.
David did because he saw God. Caleb did. He said, I want that mountain. I'll get up and run them giants off. Don't sound to me like somebody's been picked on. Living in victory according to what you see. Don't let the devil or anybody else define you through their eyes. The second thing I would say to you in this matter of it's how you see it that makes the difference. The victim or the victor. Defeat or victory. Don't be fooled by your own eyes. I'm talking these humanize. The best that you can do for most of us is 20/20 as far as the perception is concern. Poor old Jacob could only see as far as he could see, and he couldn't see any farther than what that coat was that they handed him. Well, I'm going to tell you, as far as their earthly aspects, what's going to happen tomorrow, you can't see no further than that door right there. We got no way of understanding what's going to unfold in the days, the moments, whatever, even the seconds as far as what is ahead. So why in the world are we sitting around seeing things that possibly didn't, ain't never going to happen? I don't know if you're like I am, but if I wake up, there's a certain time at night that if I wake up that I get to thinking bad things are going to happen. I don't feel that way in the morning. I don't feel that way when I get. I don't. It's just something about it. I wake up and I said, "Man, they've unleashed everything on us. They're going to show up, and who knows what all is going to happen." I wake up in the morning. I'm over it. I said, "Well, you know, everything's good." But we're so temporal in our vision. Only thing we can do is take snapshots. Snapshots. You cannot get beyond what you see as far as the physical is concerned. But thank God, in this matter of the providence of God and the promises of God and the power of God and the presence of God, you move on out there. Because those are not your eyes, there's His eyes. That's His promises to you. He's going to take care of you. No matter what the physical ailments are, no matter what the news is, no matter what's going on as far as the job, the weather, we can't see beyond that door and all of that. Lord, we got a God that can see. He doesn't catch snapshots. He sees the whole thing.
That's right.
Amen. I love the illustration of Gehazi, the servant of Elisha. The king of Syria has been putting together a strategy to surprise Israel, the king of Israel, and to take them down. He said, "Go to this spot and wait on them, and we'll catch them by surprise." But as soon as he'd tell them that, God would let the preacher know. Have you ever had the preacher preach and you wondered how he knew what was going on in your heart? Well, God sees things. And so they sent a big army down there. He said, they told the king, said, "Well, the preacher down there is the one's telling him." I don't know how they knew that. He said, "Well, go down there and surround that place and bring him up there." Sent the general, 5-star general down there. Bring him out. So they go down there and they surround the house. And, of course, that's on the horizontal level. Gehazi gets up that morning. He's the servant, probably gets some water or whatever. He opens the door. And, man, he is totally shocked. And he turns back to the man of God and said, "Oh, my God, look, man of God, what is out here?" He's thinking, "It's over." Boy, that's a looking at it one way. I mean, they had the whole Chinese army out there. And the man of God goes over there and looks out.
Yes.
Blood pressure don't even go up. No sweat on his brow. You know Gehazi's wondering, what in the world? Are you seeing what I'm seeing? And he prays and he said, "God, would you open up the eyes of my servant so he can see what I see." And then all of a sudden, man, he doesn't look horizontally, he looks vertically, and he sees on the mountains the armies of God, the angels surrounding it. Only took one angel to kill 185,000. I wonder what all that crowd could do. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us about the dramatics of it, but I just know how our feelings change according to what we see.
Yes.
If you're seeing something bad and sour and everything, and you think your children's all gone to the dump and there ain't no way to save any of them and it's all over with, and you've done drew that picture in your mind, you ain't singing. And you can tell it because every time you want to run into one of them youngins, you go to preaching to them. No, I just tell you what, you just getting out of the... You say, how you know? Because I did that. Till the Lord told me, finally, keep your mouth shut and let me talk to them a while. I'm having to talk over top of you, but I was talking how I was feeling. I wasn't being led to say anything. That's different. I just talking like I see it. Man, you just see things as it's just over. It's just over. It's over. I mean, I don't even think they need to pray about it. It's over. And I'm sure Gehazi felt that way. He said, man, if we've ever been done, we're done. Preacher or not, this is it. And he looks out there and prays that prayer. Now, I'm thinking about how we feel according to what we see. Man, one of you youngins get right, and man, you can tell they've got right with God, or you know, God moves in a special way, and you needed some help financially, and it comes in, and things of that nature. You just brighten up, and you're just singing everywhere you go. You want to shake hands with everybody and tell them how good the Lord is.
Yes.
So I'm thinking, you know, to begin with, he's kind of like this. Oh, man. This is it. The man of God prays and says, show him. He looks up there. Swings that door open, steps out there and says, boys, throw your weapons down now. And I mean it. Don't you imagine they're looking at him like, this guy right here, he's crazy. Then all of a sudden, God smites them with blindness, and you know the rest. But it was all according to how you see it.
Yes.
Seeing it makes a difference in how you act, how you live, in your spirit, whether you are a victor or a victim, living in defeat or victory. In Jesus, we sing it, but can we live it? But now they're all looking at the same thing. But it depends on how you see it. Don't be fooled by your own feelings at any certain moment. You're just getting a little glance. I don't know why I'm going this route, but I mentioned Charlie Ward last night. He was 60 years old when he got right with God. Big old tall man. You always got a man in the community that they say is the meanest man, and that's what others told me about Charlie. He said he's the meanest man I ever met, and I could pretty well sense that he probably was. And his mama was just a little small woman. She had such a huge child. I never met his daddy, but the testimony was he knew the Lord and walked with him to the day he passed. And his mama was a great saint. I had many services with her. And their prayers for Charlie for all of those years seemed as though it was in vain, I'm sure, because he lived a wicked life. I mean, so bad. Now, he got out of it. He told me the story. He threw wrestling with a shotgun with his brother, both of them drunk. Shot him, killed him. And his own testimony was he's wicked. Seemed like the book so ended. There ain't no hope here. And I imagine a mama would look that way. But he said, one morning I got up, and he didn't know nothing about proper English. He said, preacher, I felt like I was the low down to somebody that ever was born. Conviction had set in. Said, I got up and cleaned up on a Sunday morning, 60 years old. He said, my mom-in-law lived with us, and she was coming down the hall when I come out dressed up. She said, where are you going, Charlie? He said, I'm going to church. No boy that he'd run with when he was young had gotten saved and had been a preacher for years. He said, I went over there and sat and listened to him preach that morning. He said, I didn't get saved that morning, but he made the announcement that there's going to be a camp meeting that week. And he said, I decided whatever camp meeting was, I was going. And he said, I went into that camp meeting. I don't know who it was, somebody at that time, they were having J. Earl Smith, some of those fellas, preach the gospel. And he said, I got born again. Now, I'm going to tell you, that boy got born again. I don't care where he went. He's going to witness, tell you something about the Lord.
Amen.
And if he lived for the devil like he did for the Lord, he was a mean man. Because he was 110% for Jesus in everybody's presence. I love to just go up and sit with him. I was talking to him one day. I say he had no education or anything. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me while I was looking across the table. And he said, you see Charlie there? I said, yeah. He said, he ain't been to school like you have. And he ain't been taught a lot. And he can't really read and write. And he don't know as much about the Bible as most folks does. But he said, about the thing about that man, what he knows, he believes. That helped me.
Yes,
I may not know it all, but I believe what I know.
Oh, yes.
Hallelujah.
Oh, yes.
And I want to look through the eyes of what I have seen that God has showed me. We got a book that will let us look at things as they need to be looked at. Why in the world are we sitting around looking through somebody else's eyes and looking through our own eyes when we can open that book and find out and say, Lord, show me how you see this. Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Are you a victim?
No.
Has it got you down? Are you seeing things from others' perspectives or from your own? Or are you living in the victory? Because you have seen the very promises and providence and power and presence of God. In other words, you've seen it through his eyes. And I would emphasize that thought as I have all the way through. The only way to see things is through the eyes of the Lord. All those in Hebrews 11, been preaching on that of late, saw things through the eyes of faith. And that only take you one place. And that's the glory.
Yes.
Said they saw a city afar off. Oh, you're talking about looking from great heights is when you can see things from God's perspective. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Boy, that's a good place to look. John said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away. It ain't going to hurt you to look at him. It'll take all that victim stuff out of you. Isaiah said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And you're talking about in the dumps. He's talking about the day that Uriah died. Uzziah died and the king that he was so close to. And man, I'm telling you, no doubt low, but he said, I saw the Lord.
Amen.
Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. No need living in deception and distress and depression when you can live in deliverance because you are seeing it as God wants you to see it. Now, couple of illustrations of this. I was thinking about Egypt when Israel was in bondage. There's two ways to see that. One is through the eyes of God and His promises that one day He's going to bring them out. Or the other, through Pharaoh's eyes. And here's how it reads. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. He said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we are. You hear that? Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also our enemies and fight against us. He said, listen, we can't never let them know what we know. The devil don't want you to ever know the truth. Because the truth will do what? Set you free. And in each one of these circumstances and situations, Joseph was free because of the truth. But Jacob was bound because of the lies of the sun. And that's as far as he could see. And I tell you, Caleb was free and wanted to take the mountain. But the ten were bound and never even got to cross back over into the Jordan because of how they saw the same thing. And Israel and Saul are hunkered down for all of those days and those nights, 40 of them. But David rose up, and they're all looking at the same thing, but they didn't see the same thing. Oh, well, how are you seeing it? How's it look from your perspective? Them two boys walking on the road to Emmaus. Remember that? After all the drama of the crucifixion of Christ and burial and things. And they have heard. Some has said that they went to the tomb and he wasn't there. But they not got a lot of security out of that. Listen, they're talking as they go along. And who shows up? Boy, if you could ever realize how close he is, it'll make a difference how you see things. If you could claim those promises and see his hand and his providence and realize his power, you don't got no reason of being defeated or a victim, no matter the circumstances. And they're walking around, walking home in defeat, and Jesus shows up and he said, well, what are y'all discussing? And they said, well, here's what's happened. And he said, they said, are you not from around here? Said, we supposed the Messiah had come and he was going to be king, and then they crucified him and put him in the tomb, and then we got a little word that maybe something went there and said he wasn't there. Jesus sort of rebukes their unbelief, and then he begins to expound unto them, going back to Moses and the prophets, the Word of God. He said, let me let you see things how the Bible says it. And so he just let them look through the Scriptures. Boy, that'll help you. A lot of the gloom and doom is we're just not looking through the Scriptures. And then they said, well, can you come in and spend the night? He went in to eat with them, and when he broke that bread, they realized, they saw who he was.
Amen.
They said, when he was walking amongst us talking, did not our hearts burn within us?
Yes.
Because they were seeing what he was saying through the Scriptures. And then finally, it went beyond the Scriptures. It went to him. They saw him. And you know what they did immediately? They didn't even go to bed. It's late. They turned around and went back. Now, I don't think they went back like they came. I mean, when they started to the house, it was like this. But you can believe it. When they saw Jesus and knew It's not secondhand information. They knew that was him. I'm going to tell you, I believe they put it in high gear because they wanted to get back and let them disciples know what they had seen. Man, they moved back. Got there, I don't care if they're asleep, beating on the door saying, "He's up! He's up! We've seen him! He's up!" It's really all in how you see it. Let me put it this way. Jesus came, born of a woman, God manifested in the flesh, lived his life as a human in perfection, pleasing his Father in everything he did. The world hated him, put him on a cross, but he came to die. They buried him, and the third day, up from the grave, he arose. Back 40 days later, sat down at the right hand of the Father. Now here's what I want to ask you. How do you see that? Do you see that as your salvation personally? It'll determine how you live, or whether you are a victim of this old world or have the victory that comes through Christ. He came and did all that, but the question is how do you see it? You say, "I'm going to tell you how I see it. I see him as the one who loved me and gave his life for me as my Redeemer. He has saved. Hallelujah! He's mine!" And can you remember the first day you saw that? What a difference he made in your life. But I'm going to tell you something. You can hear it till kingdom comes. But until you see him as your Savior and your need of his salvation, it'll do absolutely nothing for you. You'll just stumble through life to the end. Did I tell you? It's all in how you see it. Victory or defeat? A victim or a victor. And if you'll look at David, you'll see a victor. If you'll look at Caleb, you'll see a victor. And if you look at Joseph, you'll see a victor because they saw what God could do.